Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go hook him up!
Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, and we also have our other co-host on the line. What's going on, Couture?
Not much. I had a shitty day.
You had a shitty day? What happened? Why have you had a shitty day?
My mom was involved in a hit and run this morning.
Oh,
who
nice.
Did you hit? Who did you hit, and where did you run to?
She didn't hit anybody, and she didn't run. Somebody hit her and ran. And
wait, who they hit?
Ooh,
I thought it was a hit. Oh.
Somebody sideswiped her on the when she was coming home from work and knocked her across two lanes of Dallas traffic at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Good grief.
And who
luckily,
was it again that got hit? I thought you were talking about yourself at first.
No, this is my mom.
Oh, your mom. Oh, that sucks then.
Yeah, well, luckily she was... When she got hit, it was right at a, you know, a turn off of the highway, so she didn't go in a guardrail or a ditch. She just kind of went off the road, but screwed her van up and wasn't able to, they had to tow it, and she hit her so hard you can't even turn the wheels now, so got to get that fixed.
Well, wow, that sucks. And the two-person just took off.
Yep.
Yeah, people who do that deserve to be shot.
Yep, that's the way I wanted to spend my morning out on the interstate in the Dallas. So.
Yeah, I bet that's it. But anyway,
it's good news for all you coming here for WrestleMania. So get ready.
Yeah, I need to watch it because I'm driving. I'm not flying. But anyway, it's the Royal Rumble weekend, and just like we do every year, we're going to review every single Royal Rumble that's ever been, and if we have to stay on the air for 4 or 5 hours, we're going to do it, right?
I don't think so.
That's wrong.
What? But it's like a tradition.
We've got a two-hour window, and I'm not sitting here talking to y'all for 5 hours if we ain't on the air.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll break from tradition this time because, like, we can only do it, like, so many times, and we've probably done it, like, 4 or 5. So, we'll just preview the Royal Rumble, give our thoughts on the Royal Rumble.
Do kind of like a round table and just get out our favorite moments or matches or something.
Sure, you don't have to do every single one of them. I will also be giving live updates from Shine24 that I am watching. And, of course, it's running a little late like they always do. You know, even women in wrestling, you know, just like women in real life, they can never start on time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do y'all want to do a preview first, or do y'all want to just talk about the Royal Rumbles first.
Well, was there any, like, any, is there any news we should actually talk about, like, that's other than the Rumble, so we just get that out of the way already?
So let's just get that out of the way already, so we'll be done with it, I guess.
All right. All
right. Craig, do you have a lineup?
Is there even a real lineup? Because all I've heard is, like, maybe three, maybe four matches at most. I don't even know what's really going on the whole show.
Well, luckily, I've gone to the Twittersphere and found out that there are, in fact, some matches on the show.
Okay, well,
and those matches are as follows. The one that I'm very most looking forward to, just because I think it's going to be ridiculous. The New Age Outlaws, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, will be facing The Ascension.
Most unintimidating tag team in history, maybe.
Well, they kind of are, because the one guy's a midget. I mean,
one guy's named Connor. I got a nephew named Connor. I don't know. Not very intimidating.
Yeah, well, the hottest fighter in UFC, his name is Connor, so it's like, that's not that. I don't have a problem with Connor. I don't even have a problem with Victor. I mean, I don't think it's actually that bad. Just the fact that they're not what they portray. They're supposed to be monsters, but they're not. Well, they're not monsters. One guy is a semi-monster, if that, and the other guy is fucking one of the smallest guys in WWE. I mean, the first time they came out, it was against Damian Sandow, and he dwarfed Vic. So, I mean, it was not a good, you know what I mean? The Road Warriors, even when they were old, they were so big and as big as the biggest guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Power of the Pain were huge. Demolition, they weren't muscular, but they were just big dudes. You know what I mean? These dudes aren't big dudes.
I don't even know why these people are being these teams are being compared. It's like the stupidest thing. What, a good little face paint, so they're like, okay, they're comparing the Demolition of the Road Warriors. So stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, quick update. First match is Amanda Rodriguez, who has a nice derriere, as Craig would say, since he won't say ass, is taking on the Bullet Babe, Amber O'Neill, who came out with Bullet member Doc Gallus, the former Festus in WWE.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we have the women's match. This was your obligatory match between the main event and the Royal Rumble. We have Paige and Natalya versus the Bella Twins.
Before we get to the preview of the match, I haven't been able to watch any of the new Total Divas, and I know Paige is on Total Divas, and I've known Paige. It's no secret that Paige is a has an alternative lifestyle, and but is she having like a three-way thing with Natty and Rosa?
Wait a minute,
It means she's a lesbian, Craig. She goes the other way.
No.
Is that true? I've never heard this, so I'm just flummoxed.
This is news to me.
And well, I've seen pictures. So, yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yes. Well, I'm assuming she's a lesbian. It's my presumption is what I'll say. My presumption is I think she's a lesbian. But what I hear from the Brian and Vinny show, there's a lesbianism going on Total Divas.
All I know is that she supposedly gave Natalya some pot brownies. That's all I know.
Sweet.
Oh, I got to see that episode. But as far as the match, I mean, it's more than likely it'll be between the title match and the Royal Rumble. So, unfortunately, nobody will care, even though it'll probably be the best match on the whole show. You know, I mean, Nikki Bella's breasts make anything 4 stars. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah. So
I like to think of her bisexual because it makes, my thoughts a little bit better. Not that I have anything against lesbians, but can have those fantasies and stuff like that. Anyway,
well, lesbians have always added bonus points in my opinion. So, I'm sure you agree with me, right, Craig?
What? Anyway, I think this is possibly the best women's match they could do in WWE right now. Tag match.
Maybe Tyson Kidd will finally turn.
Maybe.
Turn.
Not that I care
maybe.
That much, but that's what they've been leading to, so. Whatever.
I love Tyson's gear with all the cats on his kick pads and the cat ears on the hoodie. And the dude's just. Did y'all see that picture that fucking Natty posted of him from high school with his fucking cat?
No.
You didn't? Oh, dude. You need to get on either her Twitter or his. I guess it was her Twitter, but his high school photo. I don't think it was his senior year, but maybe it's like. Because he looks kind of young, but it's from a high school. And he's there for his high school photo, sitting there all dressed up, holding his fucking cat. And he looks
That's
a little
weird.
Feminine in the future. But, yeah, it's
maybe
like...
Maybe he's been hanging around Teddy Hart too much.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, well, they
when he's not when he's not imprisoning women in the Canada or whatever he's done.
Yeah. And then said he's, you know, he's trained his cat to stay on the top, on the turnbuckle the whole match. I can't wait till he trains it to go under the ring and when he lifts the thing to attack, I fucking have his attack cat.
We have the WWE Tag Champions, the Usos, and they'll be facing Miz and Damian Mizdow, and I expect a turn here by someone.
A turn? Oh, you by Naomi? I guess you're assuming.
No,
I'm
thinking that this is going to be the breakup of Miz and Damian.
I think that happens in the Rumble. I don't think it happens yet. Or maybe they lose and she kind of starts, and then it goes full blown in the Rumble match itself.
Anything starts a stupid gimmick. I don't care.
Yeah, it was so fun at first.
It's still fun.
I think that Mizdow, I thought he was the real X-Pac on Monday when he came in that room.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I did, too. I was like, I swear to God, I thought it was X-Pac. And then when the real X-Pac came out, I was like, oh, my fucking God. Anyway, this has been a really good match so far, and Ember and O'Neil has one hell of a butt. And she just won. And Doc Gallows is going crazy.
Are they married or something?
Yeah, they got married a few months ago.
Okay. I just wanted... That's sometimes why you hear when they have these guys in their corners, they're usually married to them or something.
Yeah, her name now is Ember O'Neil Gallows.
What's her nickname on the show?
On what show? This show?
Yeah, what's her nickname or whatever?
She just goes by Ember O'Neil. Oh, the Bullet Babe.
Mm. See, she could at least done the Bullet Babe Amber Armstrong as a testament to Bob.
Mm. Yeah. She was actually on the Tokyo Dome show.
Who, Bob Armstrong?
Yeah.
The what?
No. Ember O'Neil.
Okay.
Yeah, she came with Gallows and Carl Anderson when they took on Shibata and Goto.
Very attractively. Okay. I missed this one completely. I think this is going to be your pre-show match. The New Day.
Oh, God.
Versus Cesaro, Tyson Kidd, and Adam Rose. It's a six-man tag team elimination match.
Hmm.
You know what? That kind of pisses me off because that probably means Rose isn't in the Rumble and that probably means the Bunny's not going to be in the Rumble and eliminate him.
I was just thinking.
Sure.
He may be in the Rumble. You never know. They still need 30 guys.
I hope so. Well, Miz and Miz now are doing double duty, so maybe. That's the one thing
really,
in the Rumble I was looking forward to was the bunny.
Maybe he's just not that important to where they announce he's in the Rumble. So.
Anyway, it'll be a good match when Kofi's in there against any of Tyson and Cesaro. Other than that, I don't know about this gimmick. Fucking sucks so
bad. Well, at least Kofi's got to be in the Rumble. He has to
of
be,
course.
Right? Because he's got to do
of
something
course.
Goofy.
All right. Major update here. My good close personal friend, Solo Darling, is coming to the ring, and I guess she's Tony the Tiger because she has tiger ears and a tiger tail. She doesn't sound like it's Lee Marshall, and she looks a hell of a lot better than Lee Marshall.
Well, I don't doubt that at all.
For the WWE World Championship, we have Brock Lesnar versus John Cena versus Seth Rollins.
I can't pick this one. It's too much shit to happen in this one.
Yeah, there's so much shit they could do, man. It's very hard to predict. If it's up to me, Brock Lesnar retains and he defends against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, but that's just me, and I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately, unless the fans demand that this happens. It's too hard to predict, especially with them turning Brock's face.
I didn't really see that as a face turn, though. I just thought it was... He was in a.
It's more of a face turn than Brie Bella's heel turn.
I don't know. I didn't say it really had turned. He's in a triple threat match with another heel, and that's who he was going after. So I didn't really see it as a big face turn or anything.
Okay, I got an update here. Do you remember a few years back on TNA, they introduced this really big fat chick? Rosie something. Rosie Lottolove. She was trained by Bubba Ray Dudley. She almost killed Daphne and led to the big lawsuit. Okay.
Yes.
Well, this match is on. It's Solo Darling teaming apparently with this luscious Latasha, and they're taking on SoCal Val's tag team, Marty Bella and Jamin. I forgot what the rest of her name is. But she came out with, she said she was bringing like an enforcer. And she brought out this enforcer with her, who is that Rosie, whatever her name is, but minus 150 pounds. You wouldn't, it's like a totally different person. I just remember kind of like I read about it before the show of who it was. But, yeah, this chick is like, she's like one-third of what she used to be.
Well, to be honest, if even if she hadn't lost any weight, I wouldn't know her if I saw her.
Yeah. Anyway, just interesting. I mean, that was a big fucking transformation there.
So I guess her name is
anyway.
Rose Lottolove. If she lost so much weight.
No, she's only a little bit of love.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, of course, the main event for the Royal Rumble is, in fact, a 30-man Royal Rumble match. And you get a shot at the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 31, which will be held, of course, in the Bay Area.
You know, before we get to the Royal Rumble, one thing I like about it is, like, the Royal Rumble was always you get the shot at the main event at WrestleMania. But then for a few years, you had the fucking Elimination Chamber between it, which could fuck everything up for everybody. You know what I mean? And, I'm kind of glad that they're not going to have an Elimination Chamber this year because it makes the Royal Rumble winner more important because you know you don't have to go through, you know what I mean? You're set. There's no roadblock that could fuck everything up for both people. You know what I mean? So I kind of like that.
I still like having an Elimination Chamber because it kind of ties those three big events at the start of the year together. So.
Well, I would like it, but just not between Rumble and Mania.
I don't know. I just thought it made the road to WrestleMania that much more special to have that, you know, that gimmick match in the middle of, you know, going to WrestleMania. So.
Solo Darling just used a box of Kellogg's cornflakes as a weapon.
Also, throw in the triple threat match. One thing I came up with the other day is we could see the return of Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm. Spoil definitely.
Even if not in this match, I would bet money he's going to be in the Rumble. At least.
I think he should. I actually think he should come in early, be in there for a while, but not be in there at the end. You know what I mean?
I could definitely see him spoiling Seth the cash-in, since nobody's kind of not really, they haven't really mentioned Orton in a while. So.
Sure. I think he should come in about the middle and stay till almost the very end. And then, of course, the guy that puts him out, you get an instant feud with him going into Mania season. So it's all good.
I think they don't do something stupid like so much time has passed since he's been on there that he's going to be a heel when he comes back and he's going to do some kind of stupid turn or something. Like when they do that.
Hmm. Well, we'll see.
So what do you think the odds are on this year of Kofi fucking up?
I don't know. He's done pretty good the last few years. He hasn't messed anything up yet. So.
Yeah, but it's got to come. It's got to come eventually. You know, something's got to fuck up, dude.
I'm trying to figure out what else they're going to do with him aside from having him get launched over the top rope but have like some kind of secret jetpack or something in his tights. Or he just elevates above the ring and doesn't hit the floor or something.
Could have,
I don't know what else to do.
Like, you know, somebody like Big Show or Rusev or one of the big guys just, you know, they're eliminated. And then someone flings Kofi out, catch him. And then they don't just walk to the thing right there, because I know they did that. He walks all the way up, like how, you know, the Shield comes out. Like, he walks all the way up there. Walks through the middle of one of the aisles and throws them towards the fans, and the fans have to surfboard Kofi all the way down to the railing. And
like Dudley?
Yeah. Like Spike Dudley, but them coming down, like him coming down, like all the aisle, like the arena, like surfing.
Now, there may be legal issues involved there, so. Land on somebody. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know they got to do something. So.
Well, they used to at the Spurs game, the mascot, the Coyote, he would do that. He would go up there, and then the people would pick him up, and they'd surf him down, like the whole, not the whole arena, but basically from the middle down. So it's not that dangerous. Maybe for Kofi, in case there's a crazy-ass fan and wants to get a little handsy with him. But who do you actually want to win the Royal Rumble?
Oh my goodness! I really want Daniel Bryan to win because I just can't see Roman chasing for the title right now.
I think he needs about another year.
Maybe a little more than that, actually.
But give him let him be singles for like about another year or so. I don't think he didn't seem to be ready right now. Especially now what they're giving him to say. My God.
Yeah, I mean, the fucking beanstalk thing. I mean, I was high and I still couldn't enjoy that or be entertained. I mean, it was just, jeez. The fucking Jack and the Beanstalk. What the fuck? That's the only thing I can think about. What the fuck? How is that cool? Where the fuck? The fuck century is fucking Vince McMahon living in?
And suffering
succotash. Who says suffering succotash?
to work with the cat.
The fucking cat, right? What was his name?
Sylvester.
Sylvester. Yeah.
Just wait for him to do a promo doing like this little piggy went to market or something like that.
It's coming. It's probably coming. Who do you want to win the Rumble, Couture?
I would go with Daniel Bryan. He's a baby face in the battle. I mean, he's hot. He's the hottest one right now, so only makes sense. Especially after last year. I mean, you know, when he got his title reign cut off because he got injured. Just makes sense to, you know, tell that story again, I guess. Plus, I'd love to see him and Brock Lesnar wrestle.
Think that would be a great match, him and Brock.
Because they could both work, MMA style. I think they both work well together. So
it would be an MMA version of the Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit amateur wrestling match.
Where was that?
Yeah, I think it was the Mania one? There was one match where they did where, like, the whole beginning of the match was, it was a WrestleMania one, the one in Houston, where it was, like, the whole beginning of the match, they were just, like, amateur wrestling each other. They was a regular match. They were just doing a lot of amateur wrestling. And it was a really awesome match. I think it's my favorite, or at least one of the top two of between the two of them. And I think this could be, like, the same thing, just as, instead of like the amateur thing, you know, more like they're switching between holds here and there. I think it'd be different too. That'd be another thing that'd be awesome about it.
And Brian
is currently running wild in the ring.
I think Brian could. He could be at his size. Most guys wouldn't be believable, but he'd be more believable against Brock. He could beat him and stay with him. So that's why I'd like to see it.
And I can't believe this bitch is choking Soul Darling with her own fucking tail.
Oh, does she have a tail?
But anyway, do we all assume that Roman Reigns is going to win? Or do we actually think that?
I'm not so sure now because it doesn't seem like they've been pushing that much towards winning the Rumble the last few weeks. I don't know about anybody else. It just hasn't seemed that way to me.
Well, to me, they haven't, you know, like in past years, you know, Shawn Michaels was vowing to win the Royal Rumble, or like somebody was being, even though he didn't win that Rumble that year, but like there's always someone who's pushed, like whose gimmick is he has to win the Rumble, and there's nothing really like that, and God damn it, poor Solo lost. Yeah, there's nothing like that this year.
But of course, the last couple weeks has been, you know, Brian had a match with Kane where he wouldn't be in the Rumble, so it kind of pushed him a little bit more than anybody else. So.
Yeah. So hopefully that means.
And my pick, Kane did win most overrated. So I called that one.
Who do we think this year is going to get the Kevin Nash, basically Roman Reigns did last year, where they're the monster they're the one that makes the big impression by throwing everybody out?
I see Roman Reigns doing it again.
Yep. Totally.
Okay, I could see Roman or maybe Rusev. You remember last year when they kind of did that with Rusev, but they didn't do it all the way? He came in the ring and he picked like five dudes up and put them over the top rope, but none of them went on the floor. They were all on the apron, and they all got back in the match, and then he ended up getting like eliminated.
Yeah, this was even before, because he didn't come back until like several months later, because that was just like kind of an NXT surprise, I guess, he was in there. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think either one of those. Who do you think, Craig?
I just, it has to be, I can actually, two schools of thought. Could be Roman again to keep him strong. If he does end up winning the Rumble, I don't see him doing that. But the other school of thought is they might have Rusev do that spot because he's supposed to be scheduled to start working a program with John Cena. So you want to make your top heel look really strong going into the next portion of Mania season.
Yeah, and who do you think is going to be the Iron Man this year? The fucking referee just copped a Phil Solo's ass.
Maybe a guy like Dolph Ziggler, I could see.
Sure.
Or Daniel Bryan.
I really wouldn't have the guy winning be the Iron Man because he doesn't need to do it since he's doing, you know, winning one. So I actually think Dolph might actually be a good choice. And he's got the cardio to do it, for one thing.
And it's way they can push him without pushing him.
I could also see him beating the one to do that, but then him, you know, how he's so crazy and overdoes everything that I could see him trying to, like, going over the top rope but not going, but he fucks up because he fucking threw himself too hard and goes flying out of the ring and eliminates himself before he should, like Alex Riley did that one time.
He can take all the Kurt Hennig bumps.
Yeah.
People were trying to eliminate him. You know, Kurt Angle would take all his bumps where he'd go out, but he wouldn't go out, stuff like that. Kick in the leg and then do like a quadruple 360 or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But what was I going to say? God damn it. I just had something, but I forgot.
Plus, hopefully there's some surprises in it, like they try to do every year. So.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you think there will be any legends in this year? Because I don't think there was any last year.
I think I've heard the name DDP bounced around as possibly being in it.
I don't think I've heard that. I actually haven't really heard anybody. I almost want to say Nash just because of how jacked up he was on Raw.
And in himself last week. HGH.
But I would love somebody like the Honky Tonk Man, or someone like that. The fucking ultimate would be the Iron Sheik, but unfortunately, I don't think he could even get out of his chair to do it.
He's still walking to the ring at the Gimmick Battle Royal, I think. He ain't made it yet. At WrestleMania 17.
That was awesome. I was there live for that.
So when you brought up the topic, I had mentioned that possibly maybe something we could do is run down some of the our favorite moments of the Royal Rumble over the years. I do have a list of winners if you'd like me to run those down. That's completely up to you, though.
I know the winners.
If I wasn't so lazy, I was going to make a list of everyone who's died that's been in the Royal Rumble.
Ooh, I don't want to do that.
Why would you do that?
I I'm lazy, and that would have took me forever, so I didn't end up doing it.
Well, thank God you're lazy. That's a depressing thing to do.
All right. But one of my personal favorite moments is what fucking Rumble was it, dude? Thinking it was the one that was here in town I went to. Remember when Jerry Lawler's music hit and he jumped in the ring and got punched right back out of the ring?
Yeah, by Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And just
that was
one of my
favorite things. That was the one here, yeah. Right? The one where Shawn fought Vicious and Amanda.
That was in the Astrodome, wasn't it?
It was here, dude, at the Alamo Dome.
Where
they brought in the luchas. Renee Young would say, it's when they brought in all the luchas.
Because they flooded up because they gave tickets out when you bought Taco Bell or something.
Yeah, that was like the tickets were $5 for the very upper deck. Actually, there's update here. They've apparently changed the match here. There were supposed to be 3 different singles matches, and apparently it looks it's been turned into a 6-man tag match. And we got AK-47, Allison Kay, who is the hottest big-boned woman I've ever seen. Taylor Made, who's like the Arn Anderson of the team, and Sue Young, and they're taking on a Texas native making her debut in Shine, Jessica James. Athena, the wrestling goddess, who is you always hear people talk about, oh, they wish they could see Naomi wrestle good matches. Well, if you want to see that, just Google Athena, the wrestling goddess, and it's the same thing. And then and of course, my close personal friend, Leva Bates, doing a Purge gimmick. And this should be a pretty good. This chick, Jessica James.
What kind of gimmick?
You remember the movie The Purge?
I thought she was a good gimmick where she made herself vomit.
No, she's not. She's unfortunately not doing that. Or fortunately, she's not doing that. Okay. But anyway, this chick, Jessica James, she's a little petite chick. And I saw her take the sickest bump I've ever seen in my life. I thought the bitch killed herself, dude. It was when I went to go see Leva, me and Solo in Austin on one of the shows. She was wrestling. She was in a triple threat against 2 other local chicks. And they were doing like the mercy spot where she's fighting each girl. Like one, he has like one hand with each of the girls. And they're doing the mercy. So the girls push her against the corner and she kind of climbs up the turnbuckle. And this ring is a high ring. Like the ring comes up almost to my chest. Right? So she's on the top rope. And she starts fucking walking the ropes like the Undertaker, holding on to these 2 girls, and their hands locked. And I don't know if the other girl is fucking fucked up, or if fucking she just slipped. And this was like fucking like 5 yards away from me because I was right there front row ringside. And I'm getting ready to take a picture, and all of a sudden, fucking she falls backwards from the top rope. And like I say, it's a high ring. And fell straight back, and there was no match. She fell straight back on concrete, and you just hear this fucking thud, and she just fucking laid there. I thought she killed herself, you know, crushed her skull on the landing. I mean, it was like the most sickest thing I ever seen, and she just laid there for a while. Finally, she just like started barely moving around. Luckily, the other girls at first were like, they didn't know what to do because, you know, they were supposed to be, it was like they were a team, and it was a 3-way, but they were supposed to be against her, but they started wrestling, and slowly she makes her thing back into the match and actually finishes the match and wins. And then, like, after the show, I asked her, I was like, are you, like, really okay? I mean, you look like you killed yourself. And she's like, oh, I'm fine. It didn't hurt at all. I just knew it looked good, so I sold it. I was like, well, goddamn, it did look good, because I thought you fucking died.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the Royal Rumble here.
Okay, one thing that I thought was cool, one of those, I think it was 1989, was when Axe and Smash both started the Rumble.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, they just started hammering on each other.
Yeah, it's like, you hear the awesome music, and first it's like X, and then you hear the same music in it, and Smash, and it's like the whole place went crazy. So I thought that was pretty awesome. It's good to get the Royal Rumble gimmick over in, you know, its early years, so that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah. What about you, Craig?
One of the things that really sticks out, and if I hadn't seen it just a couple of days ago, I would have totally forgot about it. But, and Katrina, you're going to have to help me with the years on, well, pretty much everything I discussed tonight. I saw the last few minutes, and it was crazy because the last two participants in the ring were Santonio, or Santonio.
Antonio?
Yes, Santonio. Santino and one Alberto Del Rio.
Oh,
and it was so tremendous.
Me and Ed were live on the air when that happened, I remember, because both popped.
So we were talking like
That's
2 years
right.
ago, I think?
No, it was a little more than 2, because it was from CM Punk was the Nexus. And he ran the game. He was like, they were like running rush shots.
2010? I think it might have been.
It might have been around then. It was an awesome, it was a very awesome Royal Rumble. I think it's one of the only few good ones that Pat Patterson actually didn't do. Because, like I say, they did that awesome thing where it came down to, like, the Nexus took control. And then, like, the first guy out was, like, a jobber. I don't even remember who it was. And then they threw him out. And then the next one was a little higher up. It was, like, R-Truth. And they got rid of him. And then it was, like, someone a little higher up. And then it was a great Khali. And he came in and he threw over fucking Bray Wyatt to make it look like they had a chance. But then Mason came in and they got rid of Khali. And then they still did that. They got rid of, like, Booker and some other people until finally, I think it was John Cena finally came, and that's when they kind of got rid of him. And then him and Hornswoggle did the same thing, where him and Hornswoggle ran wild and just kept eliminating everybody. Hornswoggle fucking, didn't he, like, F you fucking Tyson Kidd and shit, I think?
I don't remember.
Well, I think he did. And then it came down to, like, where it looked like Del Rio had just won the Rumble, and then you just see Santino just pop his head up on the other side of the ring, and he slides in all fucked up, and he's like kind of like hulks up to stand up. The real celebrating, Ricardo's fucking screaming, and then he just finally gets to his feet, and he does the fucking Cobra. He hits the Cobra, and it looks like he's gonna win, and then he gets thrown out, and fucking my heart was broken. That was fucking awesome. That's one of my favorite Rumbles, actually.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Okay, one of my favorite moments is, I talked about it before, is the Royal Rumble that was here when it came down to Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, and they had the greatest ending or greatest, like, 5-10 minutes of a Royal Rumble ever. And Shawn Michaels was eliminated in his hometown, and the 30-something-year-old man in front of me fucking lost his mind and started slamming his chair in front of him, started hitting his legs, started hitting the railing bar that was right there, and his wife had to console him, and he had just tears just streaming down his face because he was so upset that his hero, Shawn Michaels, did not win, and his, like I say, his girlfriend had to put her arm around him and say, it's okay, baby. And I was like thinking if I should tell him that it's not real, but I didn't. I didn't want to fuck up his whole reality.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I remember the next year they started the Rumble, didn't they? 1 and 2?
That sounds correct.
I'm pretty sure they did. I know they did. But yeah, that was pretty awesome. That might be the longest stretch at the end of a Royal Rumble. Wouldn't it be with just 2 guys?
The what?
The longest amount of time 2 guys are at the end of the Royal Rumble. You know,
I think so, because they went at it for a long time.
It seemed like they went at it for about 10 minutes or so.
That set up the WrestleMania matches, but they was actually like a couple years before?
It was the following year when they wrestled, when they finally had their match, I think. I'm pretty sure. No, it was not the following year. It was the year after. It was 2 years later. Yeah, I remember that. Because Taker won, and he got like a shot at, wasn't there, it maybe in 2007 when he wrestled Batista or something like that, the one where Vince got his head shaved.
Uh-huh.
Then the following year, I don't remember. Who knows? I don't know. But the following year, he faced Edge, but I think he won Elimination Chamber to Russell Edge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He won Elimination Chamber to Russell Edge at the one in Orlando. And then the following year was the one in Houston, I believe, where he wrestled Shawn Silent. So, like 2 years.
Yeah. McCray? Or whose turn is it, Katrina?
I'll go with when Maven eliminated The Undertaker in 2002, I thought was pretty awesome. Because he had just, like, won Tough Enough, and he fucking eliminated The Undertaker of all people. He got, like, one of the biggest pops of the night, I remember. And The Undertaker destroyed him.
Yeah, that was actually awesome because it just came out of nowhere, and he was, like, so happy and excited until The Undertaker fucking...
He drop kick right over the top rope, and JR was so awesome because he flipped out over it. And he eliminated The Undertaker. So, that was pretty cool.
That was absolutely tremendous, and something that The Undertaker didn't have to do. I mean, I'm sure he was asked,
mm-hmm.
and for him, the ring general, the seasoned veteran, the judge for wrestling court, The Undertaker, if you would have told me that he's going to do a job for me, I couldn't thank him enough.
And then a few weeks later, I even beat him by pinfall to win the hardcore title.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Of course, there was, like, copious amounts of interference in that one, but still, it don't matter. You pin The Undertaker, so.
Right. Top moment for myself. And in retrospect, the move didn't look all that impressive, but when Shawn Michaels superkicked Diesel and he took a spill over the top rope to him being eliminated and Shawn winning the Royal Rumble was an absolute mark out moment for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was all right. That was his first match back. That was his first match back after the concussion angle that they did. You remember? In like late 95 when he collapsed on Raw against Owen Hart.
This is the story that we're going to hear for the 50th time. Right, Craig? Go ahead. Tell the story.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
The story about how your daughter thought that Shawn Michaels was legitimately hurt and she prayed for Shawn Michaels that night when she
Oh, yeah. It. Absolutely.
I thought it was legitimately hurt.
Yeah.
Well, you know, back then, you know, we didn't have the website and we didn't, all we had were aftermags. So, yeah, I mean, same thing here. I mean, we all thought it was legit because we just didn't know better at the time.
I remember that. That was an awesome angle. He just collapsed and the show stopped. Owen Hart became concerned. Jerry Lawler and Vince McMahon stopped commentating. That was great.
Yeah, that was...
Not enough people collapsing anymore in wrestling. Any more collapsing. Or something.
All right, well, one of my favorite Rumbles just happens to be the greatest moment in Ric Flair's history, as he said this past Monday on Raw, and that is when Ric Flair was in the Royal Rumble, his very first one. Forgot which Royal Rumble it is, but he 92. Went in number 3. Which one?
92.
And he went in there, number 3, and basically took on every single person at one point or another in the match. And it is basically the last time that I ever saw Kerry Von Erich and Ric Flair lock up. And that was fucking a mark-out moment seeing that. And that was a lot of fucking talent in that Royal Rumble. I just
that whole match
that.
Was awesome. Bobby Heenan, especially on commentary with Gorilla, he was awesome.
especially because Bobby, you know, he had the what do you call it, the, you know, he was with Rick, so he had like a interest or what do you call it, and he was Bobby was fantastic in that match. He was really, really fantastic. And,
I remember, something would happen where, Piper would, they have a moon move before, and Piper, for some reason, he'd do something, and it would fade Flair, and he'd say, thank you, Ray, thank you, and then he'd start hitting Flair, say, you skirt wearing freak, or something like that. He'd do stuff like that. He was, like, on the edge of his seat the entire match. It was so good. And the talent in there was, like, one of the best, like, in the, you look at the history of wrestling and some of the names, like, from the past and the present at the time and the future. I mean, it's like a who's who in there at the time.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like I say, and Ric Flair locked up with everybody, like, one at a time, like him and Piper, like him and Jake, him and Kerry. You know, just one after another, and it just fucking was like the whole, it was like, that man, because before that, I hated Ric Flair, obviously, because, you know, he's always cheating the Von Erichs, you know, and shit. So I hated Ric Flair, and then he left. And then in this match is where I, like, realized the greatness of Ric Flair and became one of the biggest Ric Flair fans ever. Because, I don't know, I just, my eyes were opened in that match.
I wonder how many press slams he took in that match. Ever been delivered in one match.
He probably has to have the record that'll never be broken as a person who's been press slammed the most in the history of pro wrestling.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely. It's my turn. Okay. Did you have anything to say about that match, Craig?
No, go ahead.
Okay. As far as the endings of Royal Rumble, one that had me like on the edge of my seat was when Chris Benoit eliminated The Big Show in 2004.
Mm. Tremendous.
When he showed that to eliminate Benoit went, he was like number one, wasn't he? If I recall, I think he was number one.
Didn't he set the
first
record?
Man out there.
I think he set the record.
I don't know. I think Rey Mysterio might have broke the record, but I do believe. Benoit was number one, the first guy out there. But Big Show was taking much eliminated. He, like, put him in a guillotine, and he just struggled. He was, like, on the apron, and he just kept holding on this guillotine, and slowly but surely Big Show just kept going over and over the top rope. It seems like it took a half an hour for him to get that man over the top rope, and finally just tumbled off. He just tumbled over the top rope at the end. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And didn't that lead to him getting the match at WrestleMania where he won?
Yeah, that was 2004, and he at WrestleMania 20, he went up against Triple H and Shawn in the Triple Threat match. So tremendous.
Yeah.
So tremendous. Again, you're going to have to forgive me. Contreras, the wrestling historian here. It was during the Attitude Era, and for whatever reason, just in the middle of the Rumble, all of a sudden, there's all these weapons. And it turned into a hardcore Rumble for another, like, 10, 15 minutes. Just people hitting each other with trash cans and it was the craziest thing because you could really tell how the era and the time called for this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember which one that was, to be honest with you. There may have been a couple like that.
I remember for sure Raven was in there and probably brought all the toys down to the ring.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, because he had the shopping cart.
Yeah,
the shopping
2001
cart
or something like that.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, real quick, something I got a kick out of. Fortunately, now it's going to make me sad because the kid, unfortunately, is no longer with us. But I took I went to the Rumble here, and I was with my I took my friend's son, and I just remember when I think Sabu came out, he brought a table, if I'm not mistaken, and I told him,
right.
I go, I guarantee you, he's the one that's going to go to the table, and he's like, no way, and then sure enough, Sabu goes flying out of the ring and through the table, and I just remember we laughed at that. That was so funny.
When, in 96, I still don't know how this happened, but when Shawn got both Vader and Yokozuna the top rope at the same time, do you remember that?
Was the one with him and Davey Boy where he stayed on the, he didn't go over?
Nah, it was the one when he came back from his injury and Vader and Yokozuna were beating the hell out of each other. And he went over to the ropes and eliminated both at the same time. I still don't understand how that happened. It's just a little weird. He's a 1996
kid. I don't know how it happened either. How do you think it happened, Craig?
Craig don't know.
Ask Vince McMahon. I don't know.
I mean, it just looks weird. It's just a little weird for the little guy to come and just get both those guys over the top at the same time. It just looks strange.
Yeah. Another tremendous moment involving Santino. It was a battle of the snake and the sock with Mick Foley in the ring. Santino pulling the snake from his trousers. That sounds rude. And Mick pulling the Mr. Socko out. And there was a snake and sock duel in the middle of the Royal Rumble. And it was absolutely tremendous. And the crowd was going absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And speaking of Mick Foley, another one of my favorite Rumbles was the one that was the next year after the one that was here in San Antonio where Stone Cold had won. It was when Mick Foley made three appearances in the Royal Rumble where he came out as Mankind, Cactus Jack, and Dude Love.
That's right. I remember that.
Then I guess it was Cactus Jack that started, right? And then it was, I think, Mankind and then Dude Love.
Yeah, because it was Cactus Jack at the time.
And didn't him and Chainsaw Charlie go at it to start the Rumble?
Yeah, I think. And then The Rock came out and they just beat the hell out of him, like with trash cans or something, for a little bit. I remember that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
In 1990, when it ended up with the Warrior and Hogan both in the ring at the same time, that was pretty awesome. And you just got like a couple of minutes of those two going at it because they were to kind of get ready for the WrestleMania match and at the Sky Dome in Toronto. People won't. It was almost silent because people were just like in awe of what they're saying with the Hogan and the Warrior. So that was pretty cool.
Okay.
Craig? Oh, goodness. My mind is drawing a blank.
I thought you had a list.
I did have a list, but it's all. It's all, you know, it's stupid winners and losers. I didn't have a list of.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. So I guess it was, it was about 4 years ago when John Cena made his return. And
yeah,
number 30.
At Madison Square Garden, I remember that. That was awesome.
That was tremendous. The crowd even popped in New York City for him.
I know. I've never seen people go crazy for somebody and then turn on them like a minute later.
Yeah,
so
that,
when he injured his neck or something. It was supposed to be up for what they thought was a year or something like that. Seemingly.
Yeah, he wasn't even supposed to make it back to WrestleMania. He was supposed to be out past WrestleMania. But at that Royal Rumble, one Jackass, the Peach Machine, was in the audience, and when Cena came out, he started marking out and screaming and yelling and cheering, and then he realized, wait a minute, I hate John Cena, and then he started booing, like everyone else in the audience, because he got, like, the biggest fucking pop at first, and then it took a while before they remembered that they hated him.
Yeah. That was awesome. That dude's a freak. He comes back from some stuff I don't understand. I don't think he must be a cyborg or something. He must be like the Terminator.
All right, whose turn is it?
It's your turn. And Craig jumped off the line for some reason.
Oh, he did? Oh, well, mm-hmm. I'm not looking at the switchboard, so if he comes back, put him back on.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of distracted because I don't know who won. I thought it was a six-man, but actually they just introduced everybody at once, and it was all a bunch of singles matches. And they just had Leva against Su Yung, and I don't know who won. As far as Royal Rumble, I like when this Royal Rumble led to somebody getting put into the WWE Hall of Fame, and that is when Drew Carey was in the Royal Rumble. And was, in fact, the only man in the Royal Rumble for a good while until Kane came out, and then he got scared and climbed over the top rope and eliminated himself, and many years later was put into the Hall of Fame because of it.
Oh, that's the Royal Rumble. I was in New Orleans. That was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was there. At that hell of a show.
Yeah.
Drew Carey, he was, I don't know what he was plugging, some kind of, some kind of pay-per-view thing he was plugging, but yeah, he came out and he overcame some money. And then I think it's when the Honky Tonk Man came out and Kane hit him with the guitar or something.
Yeah, that was awesome. Okay, I'm getting an update. Leva Bates won by disqualification when Su Yung did not release the mandible claw. Has Craig come back yet?
No, I don't see him on here.
Hmm. I wonder if he just quit on us without telling us.
Well, that's not good.
I blame you. It's your fault.
Remember the when the first Royal Rumble, it was Bret Hart got the Iron Man. He was the first Iron Man in the Royal Rumble because he stayed in for like, I think it was like a half an hour. It started with him and Tito Santana. And but yeah, he was the first Iron Man in the Royal Rumble and stayed in for about a half an hour in 1988. And the first Rumble was actually
when did Rick Martel do it?
Rick Martel did it in, I want to say, he did that in like, I believe it was 1991.
So it was after the Bret Hart one?
Yeah, it was after the Bret Hart one. It was, I remember the Iron Man from the first few years. First one was Bret Hart. 1989 was, it was Mr. Perfect. It was in 1989. He stayed in there for about, I think, about a half an hour. In 1990, it was Ted DiBiase. He started number one.
I remember,
And it won't turn back on, and it's fully charged.
Frank just messed with me. The stupid phone cut off, and it won't turn back on. It's fully charged. He's having issues like I had last week, because last week my phone was acting all crazy. I hung up like I got disconnected like five times on the show. Of course, nobody noticed. But what the fuck was I going to say about the Royal Rumble? I had something and Craig distracted me. I blame him. Didn't Bob Backlund do it? But somebody else did it too. It might have been the Rick Martel one too. But I remember Backlund on one of them was in for like a long
Backlund
time.
He started in like, it was in 93. I think maybe he was like the first one of the first people in. And he lasted to the end, but got eliminated. In 1990, it was DiBiase. He got number one, and he's very upset because he let Virgil pick his number. So he's very mad at Virgil. and he lasted about 45 minutes. Then it was in 91, it was Drew Martel went like 55 minutes or something, but also Greg Valentine went about 45 minutes. So it was kind of like they had two people doing kind of the Iron Man thing then.
Yeah, I remember Greg going lasting that a long time. He was still awesome at the time.
Obviously, 92 was Ric Flair, and 93 was Bob Backlund. 94, I think Shawn Michaels was in longer than anybody else. 95, obviously Shawn Michaels. 96, I believe that was Triple H was in for like 45 minutes. 97, I can't really remember. May have been Steve Austin because he came in about halfway through, I think, and he lasted the longest. And
is that the one that was here in San Antonio? Because the one in San Antonio, he was in for like a long time.
Yeah, that's one I'm thinking about.
Yeah, he would he was throwing everybody out like one at a time. Like he threw the roadie, and Road Dogg was still the roadie. And he would sit on a turnbuckle and he would look at his wrist like he had a watch. That was awesome. That was an awesome moment.
People kept coming down and getting thrown out, and then finally Bret Hart came down because they were doing the big feud at the time.
Oh, dude, I'll never forget that because, okay, he's, you know, fighting everybody and he's, like, you know, been kicking ass. And then I was, like, fifth row for this show. I still have my – I'm looking at my Royal Rumble chair from that show right now. And when Bret's music hit, you knew it was on. So I fucking ran, and they were cool because they let us go to the railing and take pictures. We could only do it for like a few seconds, like maybe about 30 seconds, and then they tell us to sit down. But they would let you get a couple pictures. So I remember as soon as his music hit, I ran, and I just started taking pictures. And none of them were good because it was a shitty camera, and it was from the opposite side kind of. But, I'll never forget because you knew shit was on. You knew it was fucking on at that time. And, that was badass.
In 98, it was because I think we talked about it, it was like Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack like started the match, and The Rock came in at number 3, and he ended up being the last guy eliminated. He lasted about 55 minutes or so.
Damn.
99, Vince McMahon won the thing, and he started the match, if you remember.
Yeah, but he wasn't in the match because they remember, like, Stone Cold chased him, and then he ran into, like, the whole
He ran into the corporation in the bathroom, and he had to go to the hospital when he showed back.
He
still lasted the longest, so, even though he did commentary half the time, but still.
That was awesome. Dude, most of the Rumbles when Austin was around were awesome. Those are like the best ones, in my opinion, almost.
Yeah. There's always something big happening when he was in there.
Yeah.
I think in 2000, I can't remember 2000. 2001, it was like, of all people, Kane was in there for like 50 minutes.
That had to be like a rib.
And I think that was also the match where at that point in time, he eliminated, like, the most people into Roman Reigns this past year. In 2002, I'm not able to remember most of these when we get this that late. I remember 1 year Ray went from, like, number one and maybe actually won the match, maybe 2006. When he got the title shot at WrestleMania. No, Benoit did it. Anybody else, I can't really remember. So.
You know, I'm watching the match I'm watching right now is Allison Kay against Athena, the wrestling goddess is what her name is. Anyway, she's a little short. She's a black chick. She's basically Naomi. She's not as pretty as Naomi, but her ass is even bigger than Naomi. And this chick is 10 times better than Naomi will ever be. And it's just funny because everyone thinks Naomi's this great worker, and there's someone who's her exact clone but 10 times better that no one really knows about because she's not WWE pretty, but Yeah, anyone who ever wants to see Naomi have a good match, just Google Athena and watch her match because she's fucking awesome. You can put a drink on her button.
Searching the parking area now, I guess, looking for a place to land. Oh, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object.
Why did you push that?
Perhaps a skydiver.
I don't want to know where it was.
From only 2,000 feet in the air.
Oh. I played that on Thanksgiving.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
With something from WKRP Nanny?
Yeah, when he started throwing the turkeys out of the window, out of the helicopter, and at the very end, he's like, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Oh, I don't remember that.
You don't remember? Oh, my God, it's like one of the greatest moments in fucking sitcom history.
Only person I remember.
Speaking of old sitcoms, I remember, like, a while back, for some reason, I brought up the TV show Soap, and I went back, and I went on YouTube, and I didn't find all the episodes. Like, they'll have season one, and there'll be, like, an episode, miss one or two, have a couple episodes in a row, miss one or two, have a couple more. Anyway, so I've been watching it, and did you ever watch that show?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, it was just, that show, in some ways, was so far ahead of its time. I mean, the shit with Chuck and Bob, the guy with the dummy, ventriloquist or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Those dudes were fucking the shit. And this show is so fucking racist, dude. They make fun of fucking like the one guy, one of the sons is like hiding out from the mob, so he's dressed like an Arab. So they're fucking just making fun of like Arabs and. And then, you know, Billy Crystal's gay, so they call him, like, a fagula. Or you know, all kinds of shit, dude. And it's just amazing that, you know, that it's on, you know, because they couldn't say shit like that now. But, yeah, that's awesome,
like the,
man.
One of the first gay characters on TV?
Yeah. He was really good at it, too. And he was so young at the time. He looked like a fucking, like, almost like a teenager.
The only other show I remember, the guy was supposed to be gay was Jack Tripper on Three's Company. Where he like thought he was the landlords thought he was gay, that's why he was living with the two women.
It was at its worst when it was the Ropers.
Because
Mr. Roper would always give him that look.
The Ropers were better than Mr. Furley, I think. Don Knight.
Furley was awesome.
I remember that show. I may have to look that one up because that show was awesome.
The fucking, I love just the one, Chrissy was still on it, but it's the one where Chrissy's wearing like fucking these fucking brown shorts and a tight ass fucking like blue, light blue top. And then Janet's got like on some little blue shorts. And shit, that was awesome. Actually, as much as Chrissy was hot, I actually had a thing for Janet when she went to the short hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the middle.
Didn't they do a spinoff called Three's a Crowd where he lived with a woman or something?
Yeah, he met a girl and got married, and it was them and like her annoying father who was actually. One of the members from Soap. He was Chester.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he was Chester
right.
On Soap, the one that was always cheating on Redhead. And, that one, it was okay, but it just wasn't the same. And shit. But that
speaking
was
of
one of the greatest TV shows ever.
Spin-off, have you seen the preview for Better Call Saul?
Yeah. Just the one where he's talking to... the one guy, the enforcer, where he's
mm-hmm.
like he's at the security at like the roadblock or something, and he ends up like beating Saul up.
I saw the preview for that. It looked pretty interesting. I think it takes place before Breaking Bad, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's
like
before Breaking Bad.
Yeah. I saw that. Have you watched Agent Carter?
I've seen the first two episodes. I don't think I've seen the third or fourth one yet. I know I haven't seen the third one for sure.
Was it any good?
It's okay. It's, it's, I thought it would probably be better, and hopefully it'll get better, but it's so-so.
Okay. Anyway, where were we?
We were talking about the different Ironmans, but I think we had finished that part.
Yeah, we finished because I can't remember. It was when they get into like the 2000s, I can't remember. Trying to think of another moment. Actually, aside from almost some of the matches at the Royal Rumble, you know, aside from the Rumble matches, the street fight with Triple H and Cactus Jack in 2000. Remember that match?
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
Yeah. I think he took a pedigree into the thumbtacks or something.
Yeah.
Or something like that. That match was awesome.
Let's talk about the awesome match that featured fucking, let's see, who was it? Heavy Metal, Jerry Estrada, who was it?
Supernatico, maybe?
No, Supernatico was in the Rumble. It was, let me see if I can name all of them together. Okay. Hector Garza, one. Canet.
Mm-hmm.
Ferro Aguayo. Jerry Estrada. Oh, Fresno, Hoovy's dad. Hoovy's dad was the
third.
Where's
the gorilla?
Yes. And, it was actually the worst of all the Mexican matches. Like, I understand, like, why some of them were in there, but I don't know why Connect was fucking in there. They had, like, Heavy Metal and Jerry Estrada in there because they were just, like, awesome bump takers.
Mm-hmm.
Hector Garza, he looked good at the time. But they had, like, some really good shit on the underneath card.
I remember Mil Máscaras eliminated himself from the Rumble. They said he didn't know the rules. He's only been doing this for 40 years or whatever.
Yeah, he did the. He was awesome the whole time he was in there.
Mm-hmm.
He went wild for like, at least it did 2 minutes, maybe three. I mean, he was nonstop, and then he climbed the rope, and I think he dove on Cybernetic.
He wouldn't even let nobody eliminate him.
Oh.
I'd eliminate himself.
Yeah. There's the next match is starting. It's the six man match that the Kimber Bombs and Leah Von Dutch against Thunder Kitty and the Grandmas. But one of the Kimber Bombs who are like they're like the hot indie women tag team right now, and they also do like a lot of wrestling of the guys and like CZW. And
mm-hmm.
this one girl Kimberly, she's real good, actually. She's great as far as wrestling, but she kind of caused some news stories because her Twitter kind of, like, disappeared or something. There was some story that her Twitter got hacked or something like that, but it just her Twitter was gone. And then
I thought my Twitter got hacked with code for I got drunk.
Well, I think she did it so people wouldn't comment about what she was doing because she had started one of those GoFundMe accounts. And I think it was maybe to raise money for her to go to school or something, or it was something, but it was so she could keep wrestling, you know what I mean, on the weekends. And it was linked to her Facebook, so I guess it went on her Facebook, and a lot of people saw that, and a lot of people started giving her shit about it. Like, you know, like, I think, like, I didn't actually see it. I was just kind of told. Like, but basically, like, Mia Yim basically told her, like, to get a fucking job. You know what I mean? Like, people were making those kind of comments. And then so she got rid of the GoFundMe account. She got rid of it. And then she started a second Twitter account with, like, you know what? She had to get a different account that she's just starting. And she's playing it off pretty well. But that's the story I kind of heard where she just didn't come off looking very good this past week. And, I mean, you know, I can see where that would piss off other wrestlers who have to have a real job to support themselves, you know what I mean? Where they're basically asking, you know, to give me money so I can keep wrestling, but I don't have to do anything when I'm not wrestling. So, you know.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, it's not like you're trying to, you know, get money together to, like,
trying to do the easy way.
Like fund a movie or something like that. Or,
yeah.
You know, it's just kind of weird to me, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, if they have, like it was a legitimate reason. Like, one time, this one girl, Lefisto, she had a GoFundMe because she lives in Canada, and she wanted to raise the money to come to America to be an interior designer. But then again, like, just a few months later, she was back wrestling full-time. So it's like, I mean, because they have, like, if someone dies and you're trying to raise money for that, that's cool. But when you make it sound like you're wanting money to, so you don't have to work, you know, that's kind of bad. And it's a shame because, like I say, she's a great talent. They're an awesome tag team, you know. So hopefully this will blow over, you know. But, I thought that was kind of, like, interesting. And then besides that, she was involved in this, like, big love triangle kind of a thing, too, where she works for CZW. And she was dating this one dude, I think his name is Suzio. And I don't know if he's a booker, but he was one of the dudes there at the CZW. So she ends up messing around or hooking up with some other guy. This guy, I guess JT Dunn, who now she left that Suzio for this guy, JT Dunn. They all work for the same company. I think they were banned from CZW for a while, but they still get to do WSO, which is like the women's version. But anyway, so this JT Dunn, before he got with her, that was Shelly Martinez's boyfriend. So they both dump, you know, people to, like, hook up with each other. You know what I mean? So that's like a double whammy. So I'm kind of thinking this girl's not very popular backstage right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're wrestling Thunder Kitty, who's, like, she does her gimmick. She's like a throwback to, like, Moolah and Mae Young when they were in their prime, like, old style. She's, like, a little heavy, old style, like tights, and she's got like red knee-high striped socks on, like really old, old school. And she's teaming with Brandywine and Malaya Hosaka, who I think their combined experience is like 46 years or something. Brandywine still looks good, though. I mean, for her age, she looks good. Malaya don't look half bad, but I remember when Malaya was the young girl. You know, when she first broke in and she was, Misty Blue, Hailey Morgan, Linda Dallas type, you know, wrestling those girls. And she was a young, I remember she was fucking drop dead gorgeous when she came out. But that was a very long time ago.
I'm trying to think of Noah. Remember that year that, I think it was maybe 2004. Fred, if everyone tough enough when Daniel Pewter was in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah, and it was Eddie, Bob Holly, and Chris Benoit, and they just took turns just lighting him up.
They beat the piss out of that poor guy. Jesus Christ. This is when Bob Holly came out. I mean, they just shot the hell out of him.
Do you remember the famous King of Indies?
The tournament?
Where Daniel Bryan basically kind of made his name. That Roland Alexander. Okay. Well, you know fucking stupid-ass Bryan Alvarez was on that show, right? On those shows.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first night, I guess he was in a six-man. Second night, they had them all in a battle royal. And there was this one really big dude in the battle royal, and he just went up behind Bryan and grabbed Bryan. And then every single person in the battle royal took turns chopping the shit out of Bryan. I wish I had a video of it to see that, dude.
You give Bryan credit for being like a newsletter writer, still doing some wrestling and stuff, because, you know, make some people mad.
Yeah, which I remember a conversation he had with Austin Aries and WrestleMania in Houston where Aries is kind of like asking him how many matches he's been in and so-and-so, and Brian's like, oh, I've been in, you know what I mean, trying to get like asking him like who are you to say, you know, be a writer or whatever and stuff. We got 4 minutes. Let me throw out the plugs real quick. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrera and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
You can go to youtube.com/Cotrera. I got a bunch of old wrestling up there, a bunch of different playlists from the 80s and the 90s. So go up there and check it out if you like some classic wrestling. Should we plug Craig?
Follow Craig at Proper Jam. Proper Jam. That's what it is. So do you have any last things you want to talk about before we go?
No, I can't think of anything else. We've pretty much gone through most of the Royal Rumble stuff we remember. So nothing else.
Cool. All right, well, we'll go ahead and end the show, and I guess we'll be back next week talking about the Royal Rumble. So we will talk to everybody then, and hopefully Craig will have his phone fixed, and he will be joining us next week. What the fuck is this goddamn theme we all hear?
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit! Let's go hook him up!
Oh! Hands on
I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.